I'm going to talk about two big trends in American life over the last 50 or 60 years, the decline of institutional Christianity and the growing polarization of our politics.
Ross Douthat of the New York Times talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The increasingly strident division between an ideological left and an ideological right. And I'm going to argue that Christianity has weakened precisely because people have become more likely to identify with ideologies than with religious beliefs, and that a recovered Christianity, a more robust public religious faith, is actually an answer to polarization because it gives people an identity that's bigger than partisanship, so they can define themselves as Christians first and liberals or conservatives second.
You can meet and hear Ross Douthat at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In some ways, it's become kind of a litmus test for how we think about life in general. The issue of Down syndrome, there are countries in Western Europe that boast they have eliminated Down syndrome. Well, of course, what they've done is they have aborted every child diagnosed with Down syndrome in the womb. And so they've eliminated a population of people, not the syndrome itself. But here in America, it's one of those questions that in some ways can divide the men from the boys when it comes to whether or not you believe life, all life, really has intrinsic value. The 21st of March is World Down Syndrome Day. Joining us to talk about abortion and Down syndrome, Petrina Mosley, Director of Life, Culture, and Women's Advocacy for the Family Research Council and author of a column titled, Does Down Syndrome Keep the Good Life Out of Reach? Petrina, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd, for having me.
About a year ago, Ruth Marcus wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post saying that she would abort a baby with Down syndrome. And you say that in a way you're grateful for her brutal honesty. Why is that?
Well, I think it's because women who do have children with a disability or with Down syndrome, you know, not every day is a good day. Not all the times that they have with them are good times. And those women shouldn't be silenced either. But you know, what Marcus takes to the extreme is saying that these children don't have value and should be aborted. And I think that was the problem there is, you know, people need to express how they really feel, but we don't need to go to the extreme of extinguishing value from people. Having bad times or discomfort doesn't mean that you have a bad life, just that that time, those bad times are not comfortable.
So how has the good life been defined to exclude people with Down syndrome?
I think that many times they, you know, the way we're going with Down syndrome and other disabilities, we believe that maybe we don't say it, but the way we treat people with disabilities, we may think that it's better to die than to live an uncomfortable life or to be poor or to have some type of handicap that would be a burden to society or to other people. And that's the wrong question to be asking. When we look at people with Down syndrome or some type of disability, and we say, well, maybe it's best that they shouldn't live in order to spare them this discomfort. You can't do something good by doing something evil. Extinguishing life in and of itself is evil. We don't have the right to do that. And this life is not going to be guaranteed all good times. I do want to quote one mother who said, the difference between Down syndrome and having that as a known possibility for your child is that every child will experience difficulties in life. We just usually don't know what they will be ahead of time. And that's the difference between those who get prenatal testing for Down syndrome and just regular kids who go through life.
So I'm wondering, how has this definition of the good life that essentially says the good life means no hard times, no suffering, no burden on anyone else, what does that reveal about our attitude toward people with all kinds of disabilities, not just Down syndrome?
I think that it reveals a misplaced priority on this life. We believe that somehow we can make a series of choices in this life that will give us the good life, that would give us a life that that is of pleasure all the time, that would give us satisfaction. And that's just not the case. You can't put so much hope and stock in this life. The the priority should be, what are we storing up for ourselves in the life to come?
What has the decision in 1973 Roe v. Wade done to shape the way we think about not just life itself, but also that good life?
The decision of Roe versus Wade was a decision that shocked the country and rocked the country forever. It explicitly gave a right for a mother to kill a child. By definition, that means that children can become disposable property. And we wouldn't dare say that about slavery during the times of slavery. And they, you know, blacks were considered pieces of property before the emancipation. But what abortion and Roe versus Wade has done for us is say that children are disposable and can be an inconvenience to the good life. And that is what's disheartening, is that it places a misvalue on this life and on people.
You say that the goal of life should not be comfort but goodness. What do you mean by that, Petrina?
When I say goodness, I mean in pursuing those things that are virtuous. And many people can do that without having faith, but it's interesting that the way our hearts, the way we are wired as human beings, that as we pursue those things that are good and are virtuous, we ultimately pursue God. God is in those things, and it leads ultimately to God. And He is the one that gives us comfort in this life when we do have difficulties, when we do have to make personal sacrifices. And it's in those times where we find a divine strength to deal with some of the unpleasurable things in life and actually find joy, because we know that this life isn't all there is. And we know that there's a next life where everything will be perfect. There will be pleasures. There will be, you know, comfortability forevermore. But that's not the case here. But that divine strength gives us that hope in this life for the next life to come.
What did Roe v. Wade do to deny that goal of goodness rather than comfort?
You know, I think I'll have to say, kind of like what I said before, they market abortion as if it's a good thing. They market it as it's a reproductive right of women, and to withhold that would be evil. But you can never pursue something good by doing something evil. And the very basis of abortion is evil. We're playing God, essentially. We're divvying out value and worth to people. And if we deem them not valuable, we deem them not worthy at the time, then they are disposable. And that is the ultimate masquerade of playing God. And that's essentially what Roe versus Wade did.
How do you respond to someone who says, look, for people who can deal with that difficulty, it's good for them. But a life with Down syndrome, both for the person who has Down syndrome and for their family, is just too difficult. How would you respond to that, Petrina?
I would tell them that there's always going to be difficulties in life, challenges in life. The only thing that's different with Down syndrome is that you have a good idea of what those challenges will be ahead of time. But you don't know what challenges will be in life for you or for your children that are unforeseeable. Car accidents, cancer treatments, unforeseen loved ones dying. You know, these are things that just happen in life, and it's okay. Uncomfortable things happen. I would tell them, you're going to find yourself having more joy and more strength in doing the right thing, sometimes the uncomfortable thing, but it'll be the good thing, and you'll find strength in that.
So how does our attitude toward people with Down syndrome act in a way as a litmus test for whether or not we really, even pro-lifers, really believe that life has intrinsic value worth protecting in law?
I think it's kind of like the question that I think we have to ask ourselves is, you know, for those who may feel like a disability is too much of a burden, is it better to die than to have no life at all? And as pro-lifers, we say, no, it's better to have life than to have no life at all. And how we treat the disability, that those with disabilities, will shine a light on that. It'll answer that question for sure, or how you really feel about the issue. We're definitely championing laws here at FRC that will protect life at all costs, no matter what the disability may be. Disability doesn't define someone's worth or value. It just tells you what challenges they're going to have in this life, and that's okay. It doesn't take away worth. It doesn't take away value. God gives everyone inherent value because they're made in His image. That's something that should be protected, because we're not God. Whether you believe in God or not, think pro-choice or pro-life, we have to remember we're not God, and that's okay. We don't have the right to take life, and it's okay that we know that your disability, they may have some challenges ahead of time. We're all going to have them, and that's okay.
You've said here several times something I think very insightful, and that is with Down syndrome, you at least the parents get kind of a general preview of the difficulties that will await them as they parent this child with Down syndrome. Kind of makes me glad that we don't have that crystal ball before each of our children are born, because looking back on the life of my children, there are a lot of times that were very, very difficult, and I was better off not knowing that that was coming. What are your thoughts there?
You know, I think we want to know so much, and then we go through things and we realize, if I had known all this was going to happen, it would have blown my mind. It would have overwhelmed me. So we think we want a crystal ball, but then when the reality of life hits, we really don't. And, you know, I think I just have to go back and say, look, difficulties happen. It's okay. Like some parents, that you know, they may have a perfectly healthy child, but who knows, by the time they're 13, with the way that culture is going, they may feel like they're not in the right body. What are you going to do then? Or when you have a kid who gets married, but their marriage ends in shambles, what are you going to do then? Or, you know, addictions that may occur. You know, those are things that you can't foresee when you're holding that child in your arms on their day of birth. But that's why it's so important to pursue goodness, which will ultimately lead to God, because He is where we can find divine comfort and divine strength in those difficult moments, because we know that this life is not meant to be utopia. This life is not meant to be perfect. We're meant to prepare for the next, and we do that by getting to know who God is. And we as human beings, if we're honest, when we get in those tough spots, when we get in those hard spots, that's when we're most receptive to reaching out for divine strength and reaching out to God. And we get to know Him, and He becomes our life. He becomes our source of strength and joy that people may not understand who haven't found Him yet, and that's okay, because we're not putting all our stock in this life. I think that's the key issue here, is that we can't put so much stock in this life. It's not meant to be perfect. It's not meant to have crystal balls where we can manipulate all the circumstances of our lives. We're meant to be here to get to know God, to get to the next life. That's the purpose of this life.
Petrina Mosley is Director of Life Culture and Women's Advocacy for the Family Research Council. She's author of a column titled, Does Down Syndrome Keep the Good Life Out of Reach? You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org, and find a link to the Family Research Council. Issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Petrina, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
On the other side of the break, Wesley Smith is going to join us. We're going to talk about adult stem cells. And now they are, in terms of cures and research, the gold standard, and yet the misinformation about embryonic stem cell research continues apace. Stay tuned.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
How do Christians live authentically in an anti-Christian society? Do we run, or hide, or fight? Do we blend in, or stand out? Are we all by our lonesome, or all in this together? Explore answers to these vital questions in the March issue of the Lutheran Witness, Life Together, Set Apart. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Join the tradition of Lutheran teacher education at Concordia University Chicago. Choose from early childhood, elementary, secondary, or special education tracks and learn to bring God's love into your classroom. Our programs are nationally accredited, so you'll be equipped to serve at one of 2,500 Lutheran schools across the United States. Visit cuchicago.edu to learn more and apply today.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Are you planning your vacation in the Orlando area? Are you thinking about retiring in Central Florida? Are you looking for a faithful Lutheran church near the theme parks? Then Zion Lutheran Church and School is the place for you. We're in Winter Garden, Florida, about 20 minutes from all the attractions. At Zion Lutheran Church and School, we believe, teach, and confess God's truth for you. Find out more on our website, zionwg.org.